From the get-go, we are conditioned to follow the rules. Starts fairly easily. No hitting, share, eat your vegetables. And progresses on from there. Don't talk to strangers, do your homework, take out the trash, mow the lawn. And once we get the hang of simply following the rules, if we ever get the hang of following the rules, we begin to get reasons why these rules are good. And the underlying reason seems to be that the rules bring order to this chaotic world. And really, for the most part, they do. We see basic societal rules as being given by God so we don't go around killing each other. But human beings are involved in this process of governing ourselves, so while God grants authority to these civil authorities, they also reflect humanity's wants and needs. Again, not really so bad, since we do all seem to agree that murder and stealing is bad, and listening to authorities like our parents and the government is good. But there are those rules that somehow seem straightforward, but when we start to question them, we wonder about what kind of order is being granted. And while it might be easy to point out governmental laws like the ones passed recently in Afghanistan that curbs women's rights and permits marital rape, there are a whole host of unwritten societal rules passed on not just by governmental authorities, but also our moral, religious, familial, economic, and other authorities that shape our lives. Many of these rules have to do with how we respond to the unfamiliar, the strange, the different. Maybe these are nothing more than an extension of that primal rule, don't talk to strangers. Grimm's fairy tales give us a picture of a scary world and teach a number of lessons along this line. And just ask some of our youth who traveled to the southern part of the state last weekend for a service project with the Synod's Lutheran Youth Organization. Many of the residents were skeptical of their help until they found out that they were a church group who was there with Ronnie. Ronnie was a local. Ronnie was known. He was helping maintain order. Of course, even with his presence, some residents refused to help. Outsiders, after all, can mess things up. They are not necessarily to be trusted. But even here in mainstream America, order is sought after by unwritten rules. Marry the right person, belong to the right organizations, hold the right political views, make the right contributions to the right people. And God help you if your daughter should marry a non-European foreigner, or that your son might come out of the closet, or your wife is diagnosed with depression, or your husband is alcoholic, or that your parents' marriage is rocked by infidelity, or your child has to accuse another family member of abuse. Because people in many circles then begin to hide. Because no matter how open-minded and sensitive we think we are, or how far we think we've come, these sort of things still rock our sense of order in the world. These things buck up against the very rules that have been passed on to us through our parents and teachers and pastors. Follow these rules, they tell us more or less directly, and you will succeed and your life will be happy. But if you manage to mess them up, you're branded. As an outsider, as one who upsets the apple cart. And so we strive to keep these rules and help maintain an order that is as much driven by human ways as it is by God's ways. And as we examine this order, we begin to agree with Yeats that things fall apart, the center cannot hold. Reality, as we know, is broken. And yet this sense of a broken and shattered reality should seem incredibly familiar on this day, this Palm Passion Sunday. Jesus' passion and death, as told to us by Mark, shows us a world that has far less order and permanence than we might desire. All of the religious and political authorities who keep watch over the fundamental rules that keep society stable are shown to be blind. Eyes, but they cannot see; ears, and they cannot hear. The biblical scholar Donald Jewell has written, "They judge by what's available to them, and in terms of all they know, Jesus is a dangerous pretender who is a threat to the tradition and to law and order." These authorities cannot see beyond the harsh boundaries that they have erected. Yet throughout the story of Jesus, we see that Jesus moved beyond the boundaries of the law and the political realm. Jesus pushes the boundaries of the law to extend God's grace to those who are outsiders. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Jesus eats with sinners and tax collectors. Jesus tells his followers to hate mother, father, sister, brother. His very presence at the boundaries threaten everything that the authorities seek to protect: the law, morality, basic societal structure. Worse than all of that, however, he dares to speak with his own authority on God's behalf, preaching and forgiving sins, threatening the very authority of his opponents. Yet all of this is done so that the seed of God's love might be cast broadly, that it might find good soil in which to take root. The conflict between Jesus and the political and religious authorities ultimately brings about his death. Humanity brings about Jesus' death because it cannot live in the wild and crazy world that Jesus is about to unleash. Jesus' gracious words and deeds can only be responded to with violence. And while we confess that Jesus is the Messiah, the King of Israel, that along with the centurion we might claim truly this is the Son of God, we must wrestle with the reality that his identity is made known in a way that is simply not what we would immediately think. That it is made known on the brutal throne of the cross. Of course, that is merely the continuation of God's grace being extended to the outsider. For all humans stand outside of the proper relationship that God desires. Jesus moves through the violence foisted upon him by a desperate and scared humanity who want to cling to a religious order, a rigid order. But God even moves through death, seeking to redeem even the murderers. And yet here we are, still in a society that clings to order and stability, labeling some as on the inside, but keeping others at arm's reach on the outside, for fear of the chaos they might bring to our world. Instead, Jesus' passion and death shows us not that there are no rules or no boundaries, but that we need not fear living on the edges so that God's grace might be made known to all. Jesus' death should be for us an impulse that moves us beyond our old tired categories of insider and outsider, of sinner and righteous, and that instead begins to move us toward a vision of God's reality where we are free to rest in a holy insecurity, knowing that God's kingdom will come upon us, transforming everything around us. As Jesus continues to come to us in unlikely means, in water and the word at the font, in a bit of bread and a sip of wine, now we can move about in hope of God's reality, free of the old order of fear and control, and work to make known God's kingdom here and now. Thanks be to God. Amen.